Welcome everybody to Black Hawk Church. Welcome online. Hey, we want to invite you to stand with us right now as we worship together, as you are able to stand. We're going to sing a song that declares that God is a man of his word.
All things are possible when we believe. All chains are breakable when we receive your way. You keep your promises. If you said it, we believe it. If you said it,
here we go.
If you said it, we believe it.
Come on, clap those hands like this. Woo.
If you said it, we believe it.
That's right.
If you said it,
I am who you say I am.
If you said it,
I am
who you say I am.
If you said it,
I am.
I'm being honest, many times when we fall into trouble or we're going through a storm and the billows are blowing, the winds are blowing and tossing, we may question, God, is God really a man of his word? And, you know, it's easy to go to God when there's stress and when there are problems and we got things that we're going through. But if we can just learn to make room for him, to learn from the lessons, to learn from the things that we're going through, but more importantly, to remember that he wants to be in relationship with us before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. So this song, as we worship together, we're just simply inviting God, Father, to
here is where I lay it down, oh. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
Surrender.
Here is where I lay it down.
You're all I'm chasing.
You are all I'm chasing.
You're my future.
This is my surrender.
This is my surrender.
This is my surrender.
Lord, we desire to make room for you in every area of our lives. Lord, you know each of us by name, everybody in this room. God, we pray that you will be Lord of our hearts, that you will be glorified in our lives in every way. People will see you, that we will see you, and that we would give you the glory always, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. Hey, here in the room, why don't you guys go ahead and grab a seat? 56ers, you guys are dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hey, I know we just clapped. Can we thank the Gospel Fusion worship team one more time? Pastor Collier and George. Now, I know probably a lot of people know this. We are one church in three different locations. Well, kind of like lots of different locations. Welcome to everyone worshiping with us online. But even here at Parader Way, we have three or four different venues going on any particular Sunday. And so that was a taste of what the Gospel Fusion venue is like. Highly encourage you to check that out in an upcoming week. Another thing we want to encourage you to do is to join us tonight at 4 o'clock for our baptism service. It's going to be incredible. 15 people that are going to be baptized and just get to hear incredible stories of how God has been at work transforming lives. So last time I was up here talking about baptism, I used the word challenge. I challenged you guys to come, especially if you've never been to one. And a couple came up and was like, well, you challenged us, so now we have to come. So I challenge you, I double dog dare you to come to a baptism service, make a night out of it, and join us for that. One other thing we want to highlight this morning is that it's been, this coming week will mark 1 year since the war in Ukraine started. And we want to be a people at Black Hawk Church who are responding prayerfully. We're praying for situations like this that are going on around the world, but we're also giving generously of our resources and coming alongside people. And man, over the last year, have you guys responded in incredible ways. I wanna just read a few of the things that as part of Black Hawk Church, we've been able to do to assist in the relief efforts over there because of your generosity. So here's just a few of them. Through your generosity and giving to our general fund, we are able to assist Open Roads. They're one of our ongoing partners in Romania. They hosted many Ukrainians coming across the border. They also helped get food and clothes to organizations that transported them into Ukraine. We're also able to give funding to Camp Maximum to assist Ukrainians needing provisions this winter, like fuel and sleeping bags and all kinds of different things. That organization is on the forefront of evacuating refugees, providing housing and food and transporting people to safer areas. And they're working with people inside the country itself that weren't able to evacuate and supporting them as well. That's Camp Maximum. And through your generosity during Advent Conspiracy the last 2 years, we were able to fund a project with World Relief to launch a comprehensive response all across Ukraine, and also to support Water Mission, an organization that was helping to bring safe water to some of the hardest hit areas. So that's three, four organizations that because of your generosity, giving generously to Black Hawk Church, to the general fund, and then specifically to these organizations that we've been able to help and support. So thank you so much for, yeah, just your radical love and compassion as you've done that. We want to continue as the war goes on to be a people that prays for the situation, so we'll do that in a moment. But also, again, if there are ways that you're wanting to get involved, we have, if you go to our website, blackhawk.church/Ukraine, all of those different organizations will be listed there to be able to support them, as well as prayer prompts and things like that. And even right now, if you go to that page, there are opportunities to see how we're responding to Turkey and Syria and the earthquakes that have been happening there as well. So thank you for your ongoing generosity with that. Let me pray for us, and then we'll move on to the next thing. God, we can't believe that it's been a year since all of this has really launched in a significant kind of way with the war in Ukraine. And so we continue to pray just for ongoing peace efforts, God, that in the midst of just a horrible, horrible situation, that you would bring peace and comfort to those in need. Help us to continue to be a people that look for opportunities to pray for victims over there, people that are trying to flee, people that are trying to find refuge and support. Would we be a people that is responding to those things, continuing to pray, continuing to be generous? God, we pray specifically for children and for vulnerable people that maybe they haven't been able to leave the country and get to a safer place. God, would you provide a hedge of protection around them as they long for and as they wait for, and we do as well, an end to this war. God, there's a lot of other things happening in our world as well, with the situation in Ohio, with the train being derailed, and then, of course, the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. And so, God, in those situations, too, we pray for your comfort and your peace, for healing for those that have been injured or have become sick or any of those different kinds of things. But, God, would you have your way? Would your kingdom of justice and mercy and peace, would your kingdom come? We pray this all in Jesus' name, and everyone said together, amen. All right, well, today marks the last Sunday before we head to the New Testament in our Live This Book series, and everyone said together, amen. You're really excited about that. So it's a significant jump, and we're in for a little bit something different today, so let's hand it off to Pastor Charles as he brings us today's message.
Hi, everybody. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team. I want to greet those of you who are here and those of you joining us in Traditions, Gospel Fusion, downtown Fitchburg, those of you watching online, and of course, those of you joining us via podcast. To the Chinese speakers, Dijon Jemei Ping An, to the Spanish speakers, Es un gusto tenerlos aquí con nosotros. We are in the middle of our sermon series called Live This Book, and the big idea of this series is that the entire Bible is a single story. And here's the thing we've noticed, that when we read the Bible as a story, some of the things that we know about God and about the Bible, they have a way of shifting, right? So what is God really about? What is salvation? What is prayer? You know, what is law? Those things begin to shift. And so since September of last year, we have been in this series, working our way, teaching our way through the story, and we have been pretty much parked in this one particular collection in the Old Testament, and the collection is called Primary History. Now, I showed you the slides back in September. I don't know if you remember this, okay? So this is the structure of the Old Testament. The Old Testament has a narrative backbone. It's called Primary History. It's a single collection, edited work. It runs from Genesis all the way to 2 Kings. It's a single story. And then all the other books in the Old Testament, they come in, you know, books like, you know, prophet books and then, you know, Job and Psalms, they come in and they bring complexity and richness to the narrative world. So we have been reading Primary History since last September. And so today is the last Sunday in Primary History. In fact, it is the last Sunday in Old Testament. Okay, stop. Okay. When I said, in fact, today is the last Sunday in Old Testament, what I need to hear from you is, oh. Okay, can we do that again? All right, let me try that again, okay? Take two. All right. In fact, this is our last Sunday in the Old Testament. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So we're going to go into the New Testament next Sunday, and we're going to talk about Jesus. He's kind of a big name, big character in the story of the Bible. So we're going to spend 6 weeks, six Sundays on Jesus, okay? That means today, it's kind of a chance for us to take a look at the Old Testament look back at it as a whole, and we want to kind of take a 10,000-foot look at the Old Testament story and ask the question, what is the whole story about? And how are you supposed to respond when you read it? And to do that today, I want to help you read primary history and read the Old Testament through the lens of a particular people, the ancient Israelites in exile in Babylon. Let me explain. Okay, so if you remember last week, Pastor Chris Kopp, he talked about how the Old Testament story is really kind of a geographical loop, right? You start with Abraham. He's in Ur, and God calls him. He says, hey, go to Canaan. And so he goes there. He raises a family, 3 or 4 generations, and then they all move down to Egypt. 400 years there. They become a great people, and then God rescues them. He saves them out of oppression, takes them into Sinai, where they receive the law, the Torah. 40 years here, and then they get back into Canaan. They start a kingdom, and this is where God establishes temple, establishes a kingship. And then 586 BC, the Babylonian army comes across, destroys God's kingdom, and grabs the remnant, the educated elite of God's people, and he takes them all the way back to Babylon. That's the loop in the Old Testament. That's how the story ends. Now, this is where the people are at the end of the story. This is where God's people live, in Babylon. And what we want to do is we want to read primary history. We want to read the entire Old Testament through their eyes. Why? Because primary history was written to them. Yeah, you heard it here at Blackhawk before, right? The Bible's not written to us, but for us. Primary history, Genesis to 2 Kings, was composed over a period of 1,000 years, and then in exile, in Babylon, unnamed editors pulled it together and created it into a single composition. It was written to them in order to understand their questions. Okay? So today what we want to learn is, how would the exiles in Babylon, how would they read primary history? How would they respond to primary history? Now, to do that, we're going to try something a little different. So this is a tallit. This is a Jewish prayer shawl. Now, in a moment, I'm going to put this around my shoulders. Now, I'm not going to put it on right because I tried it, and when I put it on right, it falls off. So I'm just going to drape it on my shoulder. And in that moment, we're going to use our imagination, and it's going to transport us out of Madison, out of 21st century, and into ancient Babylon 560 years before Christ. And when we're there, of course, you're not going to be you. You're going to be ancient Israelite in exile in Babylon. But not just any ancient Israelite. You're going to be the young folks, teenagers, 20-somethings. 25 years ago, the Babylonian army kidnapped your parents and brought them here to Babylon. You are born here. You're the next generation, and you're growing up. So right now, I'm going to ask you to kind of get into character, okay? Use your imagination. Get into the shoes of these people. What kind of issues are they struggling with? What kind of questions do they have? All right? Now, while you will become teenagers and 20-something, I'll be the old rabbi. Okay? So, you guys ready? All right. Here it goes. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Oh, rats. I forgot. You guys didn't keep up with your Hebrew studies. Huh. All right. Okay, let me translate. Baruch atah means blessed are you. Adonai Eloheinu Yahweh our God and Melech haolam, King of the universe. And yes, your parents reminded me that if I actually want you to understand me, I will keep my Hebrew to a minimum. I said I will try. So, welcome to this first ever gathering of the younger folks of our synagogue. We decided to have this gathering because I've been talking to some of you, and some of you are telling me that you and your friends, well, you're struggling. You're having lots of questions. And I get it. You are born in Babylon. you grew up here. And you are seeing that you are different from everybody else. You eat different food. You wear different clothes. You speak a little Hebrew. Not enough. You keep the Sabbath. But more importantly, you are outsiders here in Babylon. The Babylonians look at you and they look at you funny. You are born in Babylon, but you do not belong here. But you want to belong. So you're wondering, hey, maybe I should just leave this community. Some of you already left. Some of you married Babylonians and you're worshiping other gods, and the rest of you are thinking of doing the same thing. You are struggling and you are losing hope. And you have questions. And one of the biggest questions you have is, why are we different from everybody else? So let's start there. Why are we different from everybody else? We are different because we are the chosen people of the one true God. We worship Yahweh. He is unlike any other God. He is like no other God. He is the most powerful God in the universe. He created the world, and he then created humans to rule the world with him. But the humans rebelled. So Yahweh chose our ancestor, Abraham, and made an eternal covenant with him, to use his children, to use his descendants to create a kingdom, okay? That's us. That's us, children of Abraham. We are to be God's partners. We are supposed to live in Canaan, to live out his character, and to woo the rebellious world back to him. And so Yahweh starts to get to know Abraham and his family to show what the kind of relationship he wants with us. He doesn't want us just to know him. He wants us to trust him, to love him, to live as his children, to feel like a sense of partnership with him. And then with mighty power, he rescued us out of Egypt. He saved us from oppression and brought us into Sinai and gave us the Torah. He gave us the law that enables us to create a kingdom, a society that takes care of the poor and the powerless. And this kingdom would then shine like a beacon in this dark and broken world full of injustice and exploitation. And then he helped us get into Canaan, and we built a kingdom there. And God built his temple, and he put his name on that temple and declared that that's where he will live. We got to live as a people with the one true God of the universe living among us. That's us. Why are we different? We are the chosen people of the one true God, partners with him in a mission to the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, if we're worshiping the one true God, how do we end up in Babylon? Right? Right? If our God is the most powerful God in the world, how do the Babylonian army defeat the army of the one true God? How do the Babylonian army burn down the temple of the most powerful God in the universe? How is that even possible? Maybe we're wrong about our God. Maybe he's not the most powerful one. Maybe the Babylonian God is the most powerful one. Maybe our God is too old and too weak to protect this people. I know you're thinking that. How did we end up in Babylon? It's a sad story. You see, I think the problem is this. Yahweh was not the kind of God that our people wanted. Our people wanted a normal kind of God. You know, the kind of God that everybody else has? You know the kind of God the Babylonians are worshiping? You know, the fake gods. Why do we want fake gods? Because fake gods promise you stuff. They promise you protection, health, safety, security, status, some kind of afterlife. All you have to do is do some animal sacrifices and follow a few rules. And our people wanted that. Our people wanted fake gods. Our people wanted to be able to make a transaction. Hey, God, I do this and you give me that. But our God, Yahweh wanted so much more than that. He wanted to get involved in our lives. He wants to know us intimately. He wants us to talk to him and get involved with him. And our people did not want that. It was too much. And then there was this whole mission thing. We were supposed to create a kingdom without poverty, without injustice. All of us living unselfish lives for the sake of this mission to the Goyim. Too much. It's too much. Our people didn't want it. So almost from the very beginning, we started worshiping other gods. And we just forgot all about the mission. And oh God, that broke our God's heart. You see, our God is somebody who loves intensely. And so he starts chasing after us. He gave us new laws. He gave us great leaders like Moses and Joshua and Samuel. And when our society was completely falling apart, he gave us a line of kings from the great King David, because he knew we needed somebody to follow, somebody we can emulate. But then those kings started rebelling, started worshiping other gods, started creating injustice in our society. And that's when God sent his prophets. And the prophets started preaching. Oh, they started preaching words that bled the heart of God. His passion, his pain, his anger, his frustration, his sense of betrayal and rejection by his own children. But more than anything, his love. Oh, his love. Oh, how he loves us. And so he sent prophet after prophet after prophet to call us back to the people we're supposed to be. And we did not turn back. We walked further and further and further away. And at some point, it just had to stop. It was becoming a farce. We had a temple with Yahweh's name on it, but we did not know him and did not care about him. And it wasn't just like, oh, we're messing up with the mission. No. We were becoming a people who were actively harming God's mission. You know, we actually had a king. He sacrificed his own son in God's temple. And at that moment, God said, no. This is not my temple. This is not my temple. Please take my name off that temple. Except God does not use the word please. He used the Babylonian army. Did you get that? Did you understand that? It wasn't the Babylonian gods. Our God, Yahweh, used the Babylonian army to destroy our land and to destroy that temple. And he brought us here to Babylon. And so here we are, your parents, sitting by the river of Babylon, weeping and lamenting, and you're always wondering why. And I gotta tell you, it's not just the war, the trauma. No, and it's not just missing the ones we lost. It's not just a hard, long trek from Jerusalem to Babylon. It's not just missing our homeland, the sight and sound of the ocean and the beauty of the temple. It's more than that. We weep and lament because we were the segulah of God. We were the precious possession of the one true God of the universe. And we sat in Canaan, in the center of the world, and we were his partner in his world transformation mission, and we threw it all away. And we regret that more than anything in the world, and we would do anything to go back and get it back again and do it over. If you want to know more of that story, come to the synagogue. We stitched some of the scrolls together for you, turned into one story from the creation of the world to our time in Babylon. It's here. You can come and read it and learn more about who you are. Of course, it is in Hebrew. Some of the elders want to turn it and translate into Aramaic. for you, I said no. I said, maybe this will motivate you to learn Hebrew and come and read. We're different because we're the chosen people, the one true God, his partner in his mission to the world. We are here in Babylon because we betrayed our God, and our God, in anguish and heartbreak, destroyed our kingdom and brought us here. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. That's great, Rabbi. You told us how we got here. Now what? How does that help me? How does that help me live my lives? Because you, your generation, you're the one in Jerusalem. You're the one who messed up. We weren't even there. How is this even fair? God's not being fair. And then here's the more important problem. You don't really want to live like us. Lamenting and weeping, wishing we can be back in the old country. You want to move on. You want to live your life. You want to leave. So here's the question that you're asking. If God has given up on us, why shouldn't we give up on him? And this is the reason why we're here today. Okay? This is the question. So listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Pay attention. God is not done with us. God is not done with you. The story is not over. Another chapter is coming. Now, I know you're thinking, this is crazy. This is nuts, right? What can we actually do? We are a small group of people in Babylon, in this massive empire. We have no army. We have no leverage. We can't even keep our kids from becoming assimilated and become Babylonians. If this keeps up, we will fade away and we'll become another one of those people lost to history. If God does not act, we are done. We are finished. But God will act. God will do something. How do I know that? Because the prophets that God sent, who told us about the exile that we're living in now, they all say the same thing. There is hope after the exile. There's this prophet named Jeremiah. Oh my gosh, back in Jerusalem, we used to give him such a hard time. Okay, I mean, he used to say the craziest things. He used to say, oh, the Babylonian army is coming and they're gonna destroy the temple. We're like, Jeremiah, you're a fool. You're a fool because this is the temple of Yahweh. This is the temple of the one true God, the most powerful God in the universe. Yahweh would never allow this to happen. And then Jeremiah says, he is not allowing it to happen. He's the one doing it. And it turns out he's right. He's a true prophet of God. And Jeremiah, even that Jeremiah, says there's hope after the exile. This is what God says through Jeremiah. The days are coming. The days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. We broke God's covenant, and God is going to make a new one with us. Why would he do that? Because our God does not give up. Our God is persistent. Our God is dogged. Our God is unyielding. Our God does not quit, not ever. So it does not matter what we have done. It's all about what he will do. Our God will restore his kingdom. He will restore us. I know that. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know it's coming. But we don't just look forward to restoration. We also look forward to transformation. You see, last time we failed. Last time we didn't love God. We didn't know God. We didn't care about God. We didn't care about his mission. But God said, this time will be different. This time will be different because I will make the people different. This is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares Yahweh. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know Yahweh, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Do you understand? We're all gonna know God, every single one of us. We're all gonna know God and love him. And when we do that, the way we see the law, the way we see the mission will all change. Instead of seeing the law and the mission as a burden, as a boundary, as a limit, we're gonna see it and we're gonna go, this is awesome. I want this for my life. I want all of it. And we're gonna embrace it. We're gonna love it. Oh, we have this amazing hope, people. We're gonna be restored and we're gonna be transformed. Oh, there's one more thing. We're gonna get a new king. And this king is amazing. This is from the great prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called, this is the name of our king, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's gonna be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh Almighty will accomplish this. Think about this. This is an amazing king. He's going to be incredible. He's going to be awesome. Now, there's a little part in there I don't quite understand. I mean, like, how is a king supposed to reign forever? I don't get that part. But God's word is mysterious, and I can't wait to find out. This is our hope, folks. This is why I invited you here today. God is going to restore us. God is going to transform us, and he's going to give us a king unlike any other. So here's my challenge for you here today. As our next generation, do not give up. I challenge you, do not give up on God, because he will not give up on us. Hope in God, because he loves us. Hope in him. There's this prayer in the Torah that God gave to the high priest Aaron. And he says, when you pray this prayer over the people, this prayer puts my name on the people. And this prayer is known as the Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessing. And I'm going to pray this prayer over you right now to put God's name over you. Evarecha Adonai v'hishmarecha. Yaheh Adonai panav aleha vihunecha. Issa Adonai panav aleha. V'yaseim lecha shalom. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift his face towards you and give you shalom. And all God's people said, amen. Well, welcome back to Madison. That was an interesting trip. The reason we do that is because primary history was written to the exiles in Babylon, and especially to the next generation. And they want to know, why are we different, and why are we in Babylon if God is who he says he is? And so the primary history answers it this way. He says, we're the people of God. We're the chosen people of God. That's who we are. That's why we're different. And we're in Babylon because we betrayed our God. And God, in his anguish and heartbreak, sent us here. But primary history doesn't just answer questions. It also provokes questions. And the biggest question it provokes is, now what? What is the hope that we have in Babylon? And the rest of the Old Testament, the prophets, they answer this question. Has God given up on us? No, God is going to restore his kingdom. How will the people be different? God is going to transform the heart of his people. How will the king be different? There will be a king unlike any other. That is the hope coming out of the Old Testament. And as we're finishing the Old Testament and doing a little preview of the New Testament, I'm just going to tell you, in a spoiler alert, this is what the New Testament is actually about. The coming of a king like any other, establishing a kingdom filled with people who's transformed and sending them out into the world to accomplish the mission. That's what the New Testament is all about. Okay. The New Testament is the final chapter of primary history. Now, the New Testament is a great final chapter. There's definitely some plot twists going on. There's going to be some surprises. So here are some surprises, and once again, spoiler alert. Surprise number one, the king is actually both God and human. God is going to enter into the story, into his creation. That's a huge surprise. We're going to spend 3 weeks on this sentence, okay? Next week, Jesus as God. Week after that, Jesus as a human, and then Jesus as king. Three sermons on this sentence alone. Surprise number two, the king dies. Oh, nobody saw that one coming. The Old Testament says the people are going to be transformed, but it never explains exactly how that's going to work. Well, as it turns out, for people to be transformed, they need to join with their king, who is both God and human, join him in his death, and join him in his resurrection to enter into a new life. In other words, for each people to be transformed, the king must die. We're going to spend 2 Sundays talking about how the cross accomplishes the transformation of God's people. Surprise number three is that if Jesus is the one in which we are transformed in, that means the boundary of God's people is no longer the descendants of Abraham. Anybody can join Jesus and be part of his people. And so, big surprise, the kingdom is multicultural, multilingual, and multinational. And this becomes a huge issue in the story of the church. That's the New Testament. Now, I know some of you probably never heard the New Testament talked about in this way. Some of you have the idea that, oh, the New Testament seems to be about Jesus coming to die for our sins so that we can be forgiven, then we can be saved, then we can go to heaven. Okay. Now, that's not wrong. That's just really, 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 really incomplete. All right? It's what happens when you read the New Testament without the Old Testament story. We just read the New Testament by itself. We miss all kinds of stuff. But when we put the New Testament back into the Old Testament context, right, the New Testament comes to life. And that's going to be a challenge for us. So I think for most of us, we know the New Testament really well. We've read these passages over and over again. And what I'm challenging you to do today, as you move forward, as we get to the New Testament, is to figure out how to read the New Testament text with brand new eyes. Read them as a concluding chapter to the story of the Old Testament. It's going to be a challenge. And as part of that challenge, hey, we did a reading plan for the beginning of the series. Some of you are still in this one-year plan, but for some of you who've come in, you know, in the middle of the series, we have a 30-day plan that'll give you kind of the broad sweep of the story called the Story of God Reading Plan, 30-day plan. You can start today, you can start tomorrow, and you can get the whole story in 30 days. I challenge you, get going on that and read the New Testament through brand new eyes. All right. My final thought today. Because some of you sitting here might be thinking, okay, that was a lot of time spent thinking and reading the Old Testament through the lens of ancient Israelites in Babylon. What does that have to do with us? Madison, 21st century. And yes, we are on the other side of what they're hoping for. They're hoping for a king like no other. Jesus has come. They're hoping for transformation. Jesus died so that we can be transformed and receive the Holy Spirit. But we have more in common with them than we realize. You see, the New Testament tells us that Jesus constituted the new kingdom, the church that's us, and he sends us out into the world, into exile. Just like the ancient Israelites in Babylon, we live in a place, in a culture that is in rebellion against God. Our beliefs, some of them not so popular. We live in tension, the same kind of tension. There's pressure to manage. We are here, but we don't belong, and we want to belong. And so many of us, we are struggling. Many of us, we are struggling. We're asking questions. We're deconstructing. We're wondering about leaving our faith. Some of us, you know, I just want to live my own life. I want to be like everybody else. Some of us, I don't care that much about the mission. Can I just do my own thing? Some of us, you've gone through really hard times, really difficult places, and you're wondering whether God has abandoned you. Now, in the 1 minute I have left, I'm not going to give you any answers. There's no easy answers anyway. But I want to give you what was given to the exiles. Do not give up on God, because God will not give up on us. Hope in God, because he loves us. So let me close by offering that same prayer that God gave to Aaron to use to bless the people. And right now, with this prayer, I put God's name upon you.
Yevavrecha Adonai v'hishmarecha. Yaeh Adonai panav alecha vihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. V'yasem l'ha. Shalom.
May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift his face towards you and give you shalom. And all God's people said, amen.
Blessed are the ones who do not bury all the broken pieces of their heart. Blessed are the tears of all the weary, pouring like a sky of falling stars. Blessed are the wounded ones in mourning, brave enough to show the Lord their scars. And blessed are the hurts that are not hidden, open to the healing touch of God. The kingdom is yours. Keep your eyes on him.
Blessed are the ones who walk in kindness, even in the face of great abuse. And blessed are the deeds that go unnoticed, serving with unguarded gratitude. And blessed are the ones who fight for justice, longing for the coming day of peace. Blessed is the soul that thirsts for righteousness, welcoming the last, the lost, the least, the King.
Stand at your feet now as we close with a song that reminds us whatever it is, no matter what it is, pain, joy, you name it, you know your life better than I do. Christ is our firm foundation. Christ is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand, when everything around me shaken. I hear you. I'm never been so glad. Put my trust in Jesus, put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. Testimony in this place. We've got a story. Hallelujah. And we can sing the words of this next part because we know God is an awesome God. Come on, let's sing it together.
Rain came, the wind blew, my house was built to you.
Come on.
I'm saved.
Save.
God never fails, amen? And we stand on the shoulders of generations, thousands of years of faithful people who thought, like, maybe this is the time where God doesn't show up, that he's failed me, that he's distant, that he's not going to draw me back to himself, that there isn't hope, but he doesn't. He won't fail. And we get to move next week into an exciting part of the story where, man, more than ever, God, he is present. He's coming to be with us. And so we'll look forward to that. If we can be praying for you anyway as we go from here, we have people up front that would love to pray for you or with you. Online, you can reach out. I know Susan is there to respond to your prayer request, but we'd love to pray for you in any way if there's something coming up as you have sat in the service today. So for today's benediction, let me read from Numbers 6. This is the priestly prayer that Charles did a couple times. We'll do it in English, so there you go. It's Numbers 6, starting with verse 24. It says this: Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn his face toward you and give you shalom, give you peace. And everybody said together, amen. We'll see you next week.